Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is my friend, Dr. Peter Cookson, retired Dr. Peter Cookson. And we're going to talk about the origins of the coronavirus. First of all, Peter, before we start getting into the origin, tell the listening audience a little bit about the article that was written about it and by whom.
Yes. John Ward, I believe the fellow's name is. Pardon me. I don't have that particular article in front of me at this time. However, the article that was written was written from the standpoint that there are very many sophisticated laboratories on the planet, in the world, and at least 40 in the United States that are designed and capable of handling extremely dangerous viruses that exist on this planet, and that they are capable of and actually are working with 40 working with extremely dangerous viruses. So that means in the United States, there are 40 laboratories working at this time on viruses that have the capacity to foment or start a pandemic. Why do we have 40 of these laboratories in the United States that have that capacity? I don't have a good answer for that, or it would be pure speculation, but I leave that up to the listeners who could ask themselves that question and attempt to arrive at an answer. Why do we have presumably intelligent, responsible people in 40 different laboratories throughout the United States playing with human lives that could be wiped out if any of the viruses that they're working with should escape? I don't have a good answer for that, although I can speculate, but not now.
Okay, I do have a question for you before we go on. If there's 40 labs in this country that are experimenting with viruses, then my guess is it's in different parts of the country. If anybody is listening to this and contacting either their congressperson or their senator, could the elected officials, do you believe, can give a good answer to their constituents?
No, I don't. And I think that two things are operating here. One is, if they know, they've been sworn to secrecy, but more likely than not, most of them are unaware of that particular fact, that probably in their own constituency or in their own region or zone or state, such laboratories are functioning. This is not information that would be widely disseminated or would be shared with people that those persons who are running these laboratories feel that they have no need to know. So it's on a need-to-know basis. There are examples of escaped viruses and other infectious organisms that have occurred. The one that, in my opinion, escaped that is causing consternation and continued infections and deaths in this country is the one that escaped from the biological laboratory that was built after the Second World War on an island called Plum Island, which is at the eastern end of Long Island, just across a narrow isthmus or channel from a town in Connecticut called Lyme, Connecticut. So you draw the conclusions that you like from that proximity, from the proximity of a agricultural research station in Plum Island to the mysterious appearance of a unknown disease in a small community called Lyme, Connecticut. So you go with that one for yourself and you draw your own conclusions. I know what mine are.
Well, so, you know, when COVID first hit the airwaves, we were led to believe that it was from a wet market in Wuhan, China. So can you tell us a little bit about that and why you think that it came from a lab?
Oh, okay. Well, pardon me. I don't know where they came up with the idea of a wet market, except perhaps somebody watched the movie Contagion, and they saw that the virus that was responsible for the pandemic that was portrayed in that particular movie came from a, quote, wet market, unquote, and was transferred from a bat that was roosting in the eaves of a shack overlying a butcher shop that was butchering hogs. And so somehow or other, the virus transferred from the bat into the hogs and then from the hogs into what the guy was cooking. And from there, it was spread into the persons who were buying pork and spare ribs from the butcher shop in India.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the scenario in the movie. What they would like to have us believe is that a similar event took place in Wuhan, China, where they do have what's called wet markets, where live animals are brought to market and individuals purchase the live animal and they are butchered on the spot and dressed up and served or sold to the customer. The belief that this as the origin of the virus was put forth on those very tenuous grounds, and unfortunately, it doesn't hold up. The WHO inspectors went to Wuhan, looked carefully at the laboratory, and talked to the people who were working in the laboratory and who were knowledgeable about the coronaviruses, they concluded that the coronavirus that we are calling COVID-19 originated in a cave in bats who were inhabiting the cave. They found evidence that in persons who were, quote, bat guano miners, that's M-I-N-E-R-S, okay, did get into a bat cave, and five of them went in there. Four of them came out, all got sick. Four of them died. One of them survived. Blood samples from those miners, deceased and survivors, were examined very carefully and found to contain a coronavirus, which was, in their case, very virulent. They brought that virus to the virology laboratory in Wuhan for study. Among the things that they also established was that particular laboratory was by inspectors sent there either directly from the United States State Department. That's all the information I have. The State Department, for some reason or other, decided to inspect that laboratory and were permitted to do so. In addition to that, that particular laboratory received a $67 million grant from the United States National Institutes of Health and Infectious Diseases, presumably for, since it's a virology laboratory, to do virology studies. No one has ever satisfied me with regard to why the United States would send $67 million to a virology laboratory in China to study viruses is not clear. I have my own ideas as to why they would do that, but I cannot verify them for sure, but they certainly fits a pattern that I have seen elsewhere in the activities of the U.S. government. Anyhow, then they did reveal the report of the inspectors who came from the U.S. to inspect the laboratory in Wuhan. And although the laboratory had attempted to or was certified as a BSL, Biological Safety Laboratory, Level 4, which is the highest level, which is the safest level of biological safety attainable, they said that although the laboratory had been built, the specifications were substandard, and those persons who were allowed to or certified to use the laboratory were not qualified, in the opinion of those who inspected it. Those United States inspectors who went to inspect the laboratory said they don't know what they're doing. And this laboratory is, although certified initially as a BSL-4 level, they're not behaving in a way that would give us the confidence that we need to have that viruses that are being studied at that level in that laboratory would not escape. Anyhow, so what they found out was that the coronavirus that killed the miners was being handled and evaluated and, quote, developed, unquote, in a laboratory that was designated as a BSL-2 laboratory, which is the equivalent of a good dentist's office techniques, that is, mask and gloves and distancing. And that's the best that they were doing at the time that the coronavirus subsequently escaped from that laboratory. So the inspectors, the WHO inspectors, then concluded that this was a wild strain of viruses that were collected from bats that were found living in caves in Hunan province and brought to the laboratory and, quote, studied, unquote. And so what does that mean? So to me, why would you do that? We already know that of the first five people who came in contact with this particular strain of virus, four of them are dead. That's a big, that's huge. And so, why would we mess with that? Is a moral question that I leave to the those persons who are better qualified than I to answer moral questions. And second of all, what were they doing with it in terms of the laboratory studies? And so the answer to that question most likely is they were performing what's called gain of function development of the virus. And so what does that mean? That means that they take a virus that they found was in humans and they try to train it to infect mice, for instance, or whatever else you have handy there, rabbits and mice and rats and other critters that are easily handled in laboratories. But why do you want to do that? Why do you want to take a virus and train it to infect other animals, other creatures? I don't know the answer to that question. It seems to me like you're giving children matches to play with in a firecracker factory. So anyhow, the gain of function studies were produced a virus that was now able to be incredibly infectious. And they were handling it in a way that was cavalier. That is, they had no idea of how serious or how contagious or how dangerous this particular virus is and was. And it did indeed escape. And very likely what happened was one or more of the laboratory technicians got sick and got on the subway that goes right by the viral laboratory. And off they went, coughing and sneezing on their way home or on their way to the market. It's possible. What is of interest is that when one maps out the subway line and correlates that map with the hospitals, in Wuhan, one finds that the hospitals that are close to the subway line are exactly the ones that first identified individuals with the coronavirus pneumonia. Isn't that interesting? So how did that happen? Anyhow,
Peter, hold your thought right there. I have a really important question.
Please.
Why is the United States funding this?
Okay. Oh, wow. That's a wonderful question. And you know, that's a head-scratcher. But no one challenges the fact that what you said did indeed happen. That is, money was transferred from the United States, the Department of Health, or whoever it is that funds the National Institutes of Health, to the Wuhan Virology Laboratory. And so what I did when I learned of that and thought and thought and thought and said, why are they doing that? What I thought was that in times past, when our country was involved in nefarious deeds, they often would seek out or construct a fall guy at the same time or ahead of time, so that in the event that things did not go as well as planned, there was always somebody standing by to take the blame upon whom blame could be laid. We saw that in the Kennedy assassination. We saw that in the Martin Luther King assassination. We saw that in the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center, where 19 guys with box cutters from God knows where, they say that they were Saudis, but when you look at them really carefully, yeah, most of them were of Saudi origin. Some of them survived the attack. You know, they said there were 19 guys, and not long afterwards, five of them turned up alive and well. So they said, oh, well, maybe there was 14, and anyhow. So what they were
But the thing is, Peter,
yep.
There's many people who believe, you know, the theory of the Kennedy assassination, you know, Martin Luther King's assassination, 9/11. So, you know, I think you're skating on thin ice.
Oh, sure.
Because not everybody adheres to those theories, right?
That's right, of course. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very much aware of that. I didn't pull this out of the sky. In 2021, mainstream media still refers to the 1918-1919 pandemic as the Spanish flu. And anybody who's living and breathing, who has read more than one book in their life, knows darn well that the Spanish flu originated in Kansas in the United States. But yet they still call it the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why is that?
Right.
That's the power of the media. That's the power of the influence, or what do you call it, people who tell lies. I'm sorry, the word that I'm looking for escapes me at the moment. Propaganda
okay.
is the word I was looking for.
Right.
And people are unfortunately less sophisticated, and that's why they're listening to this show and perhaps get another idea or another perspective. They don't necessarily have to believe what I'm suggesting, but I'm just suggesting that they consider alternatives to what the mainstream media would like to have us believe. And I will offer other suggestions or other examples of the behavior of the mainstream media that continues to this day that is clearly false. And so you can just add those together and say, are these people worthy of my credibility or worthy of credibility? And you know, then you make up your own mind and say, I should continue to examine the information that's out there and look at it critically and instead of accepting it as they would ask me to do so.
Right. Okay. So we talked about the funding.
Yes.
You know, if the United States is if the United States funded that lab in Wuhan, and there are many other labs, my guess is they might be funding the other labs also.
That seems perfectly reasonable.
Okay. So let's get back to Wuhan for a second. If your theory is correct and it escaped. Okay, so it escaped. How did it escape? What's your thoughts on how the virus escaped?
Oh, very likely, since the people who were handling the virus were not as sophisticated. They were not handling it as if it was a potentially lethal virus. They were handling it as they handled less lethal viruses that they routinely deal with. And so no one explained to them, or no one understood, or those persons who understood how contagious this particular virus was that they were working with made it clear to those laboratory technicians. And they inhaled it. They took their mask off one day or so. Or they spilled a pipette. They spilled an Erlenmeyer flask. They spilled something on the floor. And they walked around in it. They got some on their shoes. Or they bent down with a cloth to wipe it up. And they did, you know, aerosolized ever so small amount of aerosol that had a gazillion virus particles in it, and took a deep breath, and that's it. That's how one would get
Okay. Another question.
Yes.
If it was funded by the United States, did the United States know? I've got to say, the United States government. Did they know how lethal it was when they gave the grant to the lab in China?
Well, that's I would have to respond to that with another question, and that is,
okay.
You're asking me, did they know ahead of time, and here, take some of these viruses here and work on these and see if you can get them to be more infectious for human beings. I doubt if it was given to them in that particular fashion, which would imply that the United States had full knowledge of what they were passing along and what they were looking for, which is a fall guy. So my question is, I would say, why? Why would they do that first? And I think if you could answer the question, why would they send some money to Wuhan and China? Now, one of the things that one should be mindful of is at the time that this was going on, the United States was conducting cyber warfare against China. The United States was sending naval squadrons with aircraft carriers troll the South China Sea. It's like, you know, sending for the Chinese to send aircraft carriers and destroyers and submarines to wander up and down the East Coast, just looking for, you know, just making a nuisance of themselves, or to wander around the Gulf of Mexico making a nuisance of themselves. This would upset the people of this country, not only those in Washington, but just imagine the guys who are drilling for oil out there off the coast of Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, to watch the Chinese aircraft carrier go sailing by. Oh, give me a break. But this is what the United States was doing at this very time. So those are acts of war. The United States was imposing sanctions, which is an act of war, against the Chinese. And then all of a sudden, on the other hand...
Yes. But
what?
The Chinese took the money.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They took the money.
Right. Exactly.
So right.
Did they not know what was going on? It's the question you're asking, I think. Isn't that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Do you think the Chinese were fully knowledgeable of what was going on? I don't know the answer to that. All I can tell you is that they are very patient and very brilliant. And so why did they take the money is the question. I don't know. why. I don't have an answer for that just yet.
Okay.
Because I know that they're not stupid. I know that they are brilliant, brilliant people, and they have brilliant laboratory or scientists, no question about that. Was the Wuhan laboratory lower down on the pecking order in terms of quality of scientists working and running the program there? I don't know. I really have no way of gauging that.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is that I don't know the answer to the why of that particular question.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't. I would have to speculate,
okay.
But that's a topic for another program.
Right. Okay. Okay. So this is all very interesting, and a majority of what you're saying is not covered in the mainstream press, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And my sources are medical journals, medical articles, and newspapers and television programs that are unusual, okay? I don't go on the internet. I don't go on YouTube. I don't go on I don't use a computer, period, as a source of information
mm-hmm.
for me.
Okay.
I just don't, period.
Okay. All right.
So everything that I'm telling you is in the public domain.
Okay.
Nothing is secret.
Okay. And you know, Peter,
what?
This half hour went by very quickly. We're just about out of time.
Yes.
So from your perspective, do you want to do another show? Is there a lot more that you could talk about that we
oh, sure.
haven't covered?
Oh yeah, I wrote 5 or 6 pages here.
Okay.
2 days ago, and I think we got to the first page.
Okay, so we'll do another show.
Sure.
Our time is up. You've
nope.
been listening to retired Dr. Peter Cookson, and I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for Peter. Thank you, Peter, for talking about this very important issue.
You're welcome. Call me again.